BBC presents Destination Fire. Blind Spot, a story by Philip Levine with Robert Beatty as Q Barnaby, fire investigator.
Well, if it isn't Miss Whitby. And what do I owe this pleasure?
If it's a pleasure for you, Mr. Gilbert, it certainly isn't for me.
Ah, now you've ruined my morning.
This bathroom fabric, I've just received a sample.
Yes, I see. That's a very nice bit of material. Housewives will love it. These fish designs never miss, do they?
I think it's horrific.
Well, as the creator, Miss Whitby, you surprise me.
My original design's been altered.
Oh, come. Not altered, modified. There are a great many technical problems.
I'm quite familiar with them.
Oh, I wouldn't think so.
Now, look, Mr. Gilbert, you may be the great colour printing expert, but that doesn't give you the right to tamper with my basic design.
You were asked to produce fish, Miss Whitby. Fish. Your design was so abstract, I wasn't sure if it was a conger eel or an aged weasel.
And you're about as imaginative as both. I intend to see Mr. Pemberton.
Do, by all means. You'll have to join the queue. I have an appointment with him in approximately 2 minutes.
Oh, come in, Gilbert.
Oh, nice morning, sir.
I can give you 5 minutes, so straight to the point.
Oh, well, all right. The fact is, I've been offered a rather splendid opportunity abroad. Canada.
Oh?
So, I've come to ask you to let me go.
Oh, just like that?
Oh, no, I'd be happy to buy out the remainder of my contract.
It has 3 years to run.
Oh, I know, but surely we can reach some agreement.
I doubt that.
Oh, why not?
Well, I'm afraid, Gilbert, you couldn't have chosen a more inopportune moment.
Oh?
My health's a bit dicey, and... Well, if you must know, I've been hoping to sell out to Hanover Plastics. And yours and Miss Whitby's contracts are among my most valuable assets. To lose either might affect negotiations.
But, Mr. Pemberton, this is a chance of a lifetime.
Oh, I appreciate that, but as my production manager, I can't afford to let you go.
Or perhaps I can take it up with Hanover.
Well, you can try, if the deal goes through. Though, frankly, I wouldn't give much for your chances.
Here, Mr. Pemberton, is my original design. And here is what came off the rollers. Well, I certainly wouldn't buy it.
Oh, that doesn't mean the public won't, Miss Whitby. When they buy plastic, they're after something inexpensive.
But there's a difference between inexpensive and something downright cheap. I mean, some of the designs in the shops made by people like Hanover, for instance, well, I wouldn't produce that kind of rubbish if I was paid a five-figure salary.
Oh, I'm sorry you feel like that. I'm afraid you may be working for Hanover before long.
What?
Well, if we can come to terms, I'm selling out to them. And that includes your contract.
Well, then I wouldn't stay here.
Well, of course, Miss Whitby, that's up to you. But if you broke your contract, no one would employ you in this industry, I promise you.
Oh, Mr. Pemberton, an envelope arrived by special messenger from Hanover Plastics. I left it on your desk. Have you seen it?
Yes, thank you, Miss Ryder. Now, what have you got there?
Oh, just a note from Northwestern Insurance Company. Renewal of premium. I've made out the cheque. Will you sign it?
What?
Are you feeling all right, Mr. Pemberton?
Yes. Just a little breathless, that's all. Let's have some water.
Yes, of course. There you are.
Thanks.
This cheque for Northwestern, should I leave it till the morning?
Oh, no. Give it here. I'll sign it. It never does to get behind with insurance premiums.
Yes, Barnaby here.
Morning, Lord and Master. Val here.
Morning, slave. Now, don't worry, I haven't overslept. I'm working.
Guessed you might be cute. Vickers looked in from Northwest Insurance. Some trouble at a plastics factory. It's nothing desperate, but he'd like a word.
Is he still there?
No, he's gone back to head office. He'll be there all morning.
Oh, fine. I'll drop by there when I'm through with these reports.
Well, I've attended a few fires in my time, Barnaby, but I shan't forget this one in a hurry.
A plastics factory, you said, Mr. Vickers?
Yes, chock-a-block with inflammable solvents.
Complete write-off, is it?
The plant, certainly. Though the main structure's still intact, it was an old army barracks when Pemberton's took it over, pretty solid. And there's a high wall surrounding the place. They spent thousands on the conversion. And I supervised the fire precautions. Mm-hmm. Sprinklers, smoke detectors, you name it, we installed it. That's what's so worrying. Oh, I'm not suggesting arson, but we're covering a dozen other factories of a similar nature. Perhaps there's some danger we've overlooked, some unknown industrial hazard. So you do see, it's vital that we discover the cause.
And as you can see, ladies and gentlemen, there's little hope of us starting production again in the foreseeable future. There'll be a month's salary and your bonuses. And I feel sure you'll all find other employment. Thank you for your services and loyalty, and good luck to you all.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Pemberton.
Yes?
My name's Barnaby. I'm from Northwestern Insurance.
You're their assessor, are you?
No, I've been retained to investigate the cause. Well, I'll try not to keep you long, but I would like to see around the place.
Yes, of course. It's a reinforced structure with stone staircases.
Ah, then we should be all right. Now, have you any thoughts on the fire, how it could have started?
No, none at all. Of course, we stored an enormous amount of inflammable material, but... Well, our precautions were second to none, as Vickers may have told you.
Yes, he did. The night security officer, is he here?
Oh, yes, that's him, in the uniform. Andrews, spare a moment.
Yes, Mr. Pemberton.
This is Mr. Barnaby. He's investigating the fire.
Oh, yes.
Barnaby, would you mind if I leave you for a second? I just want to say goodbye to one or two of my staff.
Yes, of course, go ahead.
I shan't be very long.
No hurry. Now, Mr. Andrews... When did you come on duty last night?
5:15, sir. The factory closes at 5:30. We check everyone out, then. I'll wait in the office by the gate while the day man does his rounds, and then he goes off.
Can you recall who were the last people to leave last night?
Yes, the time's on the sheet. I'm pretty certain it was Mr. Gilbert and Miss Whitby, or vice versa. They're usually the last out.
And everyone had gone by the time the other officer did his rounds?
Yes. Just a delivery van to come. Doing a night run to Birmingham at about 1:45. The day officer locks the factory door, and then when he goes, I lock the main gate.
He didn't report anything unusual.
Nothing on the sheet.
Q? Do you want to see the brigade officer?
Please, Val. Well, thank you, Mr. Andrews. You'll be around if I need you?
Oh, yes. You'll find me in the office by the gate.
Q, I believe you know Fire Officer Palmer.
Yeah, why, yes, indeed.
Hello, Barnaby. Seems like years.
Isn't it? Yes, well, what can you tell me about this one?
Oh, quite a shambles inside.
But safe enough to inspect?
Well, mainly concrete. You'll be okay.
When did your boys get here?
Around 9:05. Call came in at 9:01. Still daylight when we got here.
It was fast work. What was it like?
Pretty bad. Blazing from top to bottom.
Were the sprinklers working?
Yes. It's puzzling how it got going so quickly.
Yes. Those broken window frames on the ground floor.
Well, as our doing, we hacked them all out.
Ah.
Oh, Barnaby, so sorry to have kept you.
I'll be with you in a sec, Mr. Pemberton. Well, thanks, Mr. Palmer. You might let me have a copy of your report sheet.
Oh, sure. I'll drop it in the post.
Thank you.
Well, I suppose you'd like to see over the place.
Yes, I would. Oh, Val, get some photographs of the premises from all angles, including the outside road.
Camera's in the car.
Yes, here, you'd better take my keys.
Thanks. Well, I'll see you.
Now, Mr. Pemberton, if you'll be so good as to lead the way.
Well, the only areas that seem to have escaped severe damage are the offices at the far end and the basement.
What were you producing here, exactly?
Curtaining. Plastic fabrics.
What was the basement used for?
Well, storage, mainly. Printing rollers and quite a few heavy filing cabinets for records. You want to go down there?
Not for the moment. I think I've got a pretty good idea of the layout. But my inspection may take some time. Where can I reach you?
Well, I've an appointment at Northwestern Insurance. I should be back here around 4:00.
I see. I'd also like a word with Mr. Gilbert and Miss Whitby, I think it is. Yes, I gather they were the last to leave yesterday.
Yes. I'll see if I can get them here. If not, Andrews should have their addresses.
Oh, fine. Oh, if you see my secretary on your way out, you might let her know I'm up here, would you?
Yes, of course.
Well,
You took your time, Miss Crane.
I'm sorry, Q. I was chatting to one of the staff, Miss Whitby, head of the design department. We parked just behind her, that little blue convertible.
Well, it can't be much fun to arrive and find yourself unemployed.
Well, she didn't seem particularly upset.
No?
I got the feeling she wasn't too happy here.
Well, I don't see why. She had the most spacious working conditions.
Oh, this was her department.
Yes, but the fire didn't start up here. Let's go down to the second floor.
The upper floors seem to be the worst hit.
The top part of the flames always the hottest.
All right. Just look at this glass. It's turned yellow.
Well, that wasn't the heat. This floor was used for storage of fabrics, and the windows were amber glass.
Amber? Why?
Well, to keep out the sunlight and stop the colors from fading.
Oh.
But the fire didn't start on this floor, either. No, from the depth of charring, I'm pretty sure it was on the ground floor. So, down two flights, Miss Crane, if you please.
Oh, now, what are you up to, Q?
Taking a look at these storage drums. They contained a peroxide catalyst.
Ooh, that sounds horrific.
Yes, it is. It's pretty dangerous stuff. If exposed to the air, it can catch a light on its own.
Ah, spontaneous heating.
Ah, we're learning, aren't we?
Yes, but these drums are empty.
Well, they are now, but it's possible one of them was leaking. Have a look at that one, and I'll have a look at this one here.
Yes, Q. Look. This one.
Huh?
Here. On this side, about half an inch from the bottom.
Let's see.
Well.
Yeah.
Huh. What's wrong with you? Seeing you've discovered the cause, I thought you'd be overjoyed.
Well, I'm not. As you said, this holds about half an inch from the bottom of the drum.
Well?
Now, I'll unscrew the cap, and as it didn't explode, there should still be a half of an inch of peroxide catalyst at the bottom. But there isn't. It's empty. No, I'd say this hole was punched into an empty drum to make it look like an accident. Now, if only they'd removed the cap, that would probably have been my verdict. Accident.
Well, who's they?
Who indeed? Look, Val, get to the phone and call Alec at the lab. I want him over here right away.
Right here.
Oh, and tell him to bring a small microscope and some dust measuring equipment.
Q. There's someone called Gilbert at the front gate, the production manager.
Oh, yes, I know.
He said Pemberton asked him to be here at 4.
Mm. Well, I shan't be long. Alec's almost through.
And what exactly is our backroom boy up to now?
Well, take a look round. It got pretty hot down here, but the wood isn't charred, so the fire didn't actually spread into the basement.
Yes, but these rollers and cabinets are black with soot.
But they're evenly covered. Now, everyone's puzzled that in spite of an excellent sprinkler system, the fire spread so quickly. But supposing that before the fire started, someone closed the sprinkler valve. That would allow the fire to take hold. Then just before the brigade arrived, the valve was opened. Now, if you can imagine a tap, when the valve's closed, there's less of the spindle showing than when it's opened. Got it?
Yes, I'm with you. The central part.
Mm. So if it's shut and not exposed, the deposit of soot on the spindle would be less than on the rest of the valve.
Why, yes, of course.
Well, you were dead right, Q.
Was I, Alec?
Now, the average thickness of soot down here is 0.2 of an inch, but on the spindle it's only 0.09. That sprinkler valve was definitely closed for part of the time. There are also variations on the handle, so the fire was going for quite some time before it was turned on again.
Ah, yes, but that would mean someone was down here during the actual fire.
Seems like it.
Yes, well, it must have been like a furnace.
Well, not quite, but certainly in the region of 1,000 degrees centigrade.
Yes, no one could possibly survive in that heat.
Well, there's no sign of a body, so whoever was down here is very much alive.
Well, I'm not at all sure how I can help, Mr. Barnaby.
I gathered you were one of the last to leave, Mr. Gilbert.
Oh, was I? Probably. But I believe Miss Whitby was still in her office.
She's the designer?
That's her title. I suppose this must be a terrible blow for old Pemberton.
Well, he's covered by insurance.
All the same, it's goodbye to the deal with Hanover.
Oh, what deal was this?
Oh, his health wasn't too good. He was hoping to sell out to them.
Well, I don't suppose you're too happy at finding yourself unemployed.
If you want the truth, I am very happy.
Really?
This fire's an act of providence as far as I'm concerned.
Oh?
Oh, you see, I'd been offered a job abroad, Canada, about treble my present salary. My contract with Pemberton's has 3 years to run, and the old man quite understandably wouldn't release me. He hasn't a hope of selling now, so I'm a free agent.
You're frank, I'll say that for you.
Let's face it, Pemberton would probably have mentioned it.
Now, before you go,
I have a couple of routine questions.
Oh, please, go ahead.
When you left last night, did you go straight home?
No, it was a fine evening. I drove into the park and went for a stroll. Well, you know how it is, being shut up all day.
Yes, and then?
Oh, back to my flat. Must have got in about 8:15. As a matter of fact, I passed by the factory about 8.
You didn't see smoke or anything unusual?
No, just Miss Whitby.
What, in the factory?
Oh, no. She was climbing out of a small green convertible. Oh, I can't see it now. It was parked by that pavement opposite.
You're certain it was Miss Whitby?
Well, I wasn't at first, because of the car. I didn't realize she had one, never seen it before. But it was her, all right.
And this was about 8 o'clock?
Oh, a few minutes either way.
I see. Well, thank you for your help, Mr. Gilbert. When are you leaving for Canada?
As soon as I can arrange my passage.
Ah, you want to be let out, Mr. Barnaby?
Yes, in a second. Tell me first, Mr. Andrews, the daily list for checking the staff in and out. Can I see the one for last night?
Yeah, sure, I've got it here.
Oh, good. Yes. I see Mr. Pemberton isn't on this list.
Oh, well, he's the governor, isn't he?
What time did he leave?
I'm not sure. Perhaps before I came on. Sometimes he's in and out all day.
Earlier on, there is a small convertible parked opposite. Did you see it?
Yes, I think I did.
Is it usually parked there?
No, I've never seen it before.
Well, it belongs to Miss Whitby, I gather.
Uh-huh.
And it was parked there last night.
Yes, now you mention it, it was. All night. But I didn't know it was Miss Whitby's. She only lives a few minutes from here.
Have you got her address?
Yes, yeah, somewhere. Hang on, I'll see if I can find it.
Well, I've just made some tea. Would you like a cup?
Not for me, thanks, Miss Whitby. Just a few questions and then I must be on my way.
Well, I doubt if I can help very much.
I believe you were the last to leave the factory.
Well, yes, possibly. If I'm working, I don't stop the moment the whistle sounds. Well, I wasn't terribly late last night. A few minutes, perhaps. To be honest, when I realized what the time was, I dashed out rather quickly. I'd bought myself a little convertible and I arranged to pick it up at about 6.
Your first car, is it?
Yeah. But after I'd driven for about a mile, the damn thing packed up on me.
Oh, that was bad luck.
Oh, nothing very serious. Speck of dust in the carburetor. The garage was closed, so I had to leave it parked on the main road all night. I left it just opposite the factory and walked home.
But it's all right now?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. They came along about midday and now it's running like a dream. I used it this afternoon.
Job hunting?
No, I'm in no hurry. I don't intend to make the same mistake twice. I could have stuck it out at Pemberton's, but I loathe the thought of working for Hanover's.
Ah, I've been waiting for you, Barnaby.
Oh, what's the trouble, Mr. Pemberton?
I had a call from Northwestern this morning. They said in view of your preliminary report, the insurance might be delayed for several weeks. You think it was deliberate, don't you, this fire?
I don't think, I know.
But how, damn it, how?
There's evidence the sprinklers were off till the fire was well underway.
What, you mean that there was someone in the building during the fire?
Well, I know, it seems incredible, but that's my theory. They remained in the basement until the brigade arrived, and then in the confusion probably left by one of the ground floor windows.
But how did they get in the first place?
Well, perhaps they didn't leave.
But everyone was checked out?
Not everyone.
What?
Your name isn't on this list, Mr. Pemberton.
Are you accusing me?
I'm merely stating a fact. Your name does not appear on this list.
But I left around 5:20. Andrews can verify that.
He wasn't too certain when I spoke to him.
Then check with my secretary, Miss Ryder. I looked back as I went through the gates, and she was at the window at the far end. She'll remember.
And where can I find your secretary?
I left her at the factory, trying to salvage some of the office records. If you hurry, I should think you'll still catch her.
There's someone in there, though. Miss Ryder?
Yes?
Oh, my name's Barnaby. This is my secretary.
Oh, yes. I saw you at the gates. You're from the Northwestern.
Yes.
Mr. Pemberton asked me to see what I could salvage, but everything's sopping wet.
Oh, well, it'll soon dry out. Now, I just wanted to check on the time you left last night.
5:30. I'm never here a minute longer than I have to be, thanks.
And Mr. Pemberton?
Oh, I think he left about 5:20. Yes, I saw him go through the main gate. He wasn't too well, a bit upset.
Oh, what upset him?
Well, he'd been hoping to sell the place and retire. The only firm who were interested were Hanover Plastics, but finally I believe they turned him down.
I see.
Here. Oh, that's funny.
What's wrong?
Well, the drawer to my desk, it's been forced open. Look.
What was in the drawer?
Oh, just the order book for ISR.
ISR?
That's International Solvents and Resins. Oh. We get almost everything from them. So we have a special order book. I take it round to the various departments, collect the orders and send them off.
Was that all that was kept in here?
Yes.
When did you last see it, the order book?
Well, I'm not sure. A day or so ago. But I'm certain of one thing. That drawer was locked when I left last night.
The order book for ISR, did you say?
Yes, Mr. Gilbert. It seems to be missing.
I'm sorry, I don't understand your concern. It's only an order book.
But important enough to steal. Tell me, who used this order book?
Well, most departments.
Miss Whitby's?
Yes, for special dyes and colourings. Oh, Miss Ryder probably left it up there, if you ask me. I'd have another search check with Miss Whitby.
Yes, well, it's worth a try. Otherwise, I shall have to rely on Miss Ryder's memory.
I'm not quite with you.
Well, if the order book has been stolen, then it must have contained something very incriminating. If Miss Whitby can't help me, then perhaps Miss Ryder can.
Well, you were quick.
I'm afraid Miss Whitby wasn't in.
Well, I couldn't see her car.
She's probably gone for a spin.
The novelty of the new car. Mm. It sounds as though she's suspect number one.
Well, with the factory gone, both she and Gilbert are free.
But Hanover Plastic said no.
True, but neither of them knew that. And it certainly gives Pemberton a motive. No sale, he can't retire, so he cashes in on the insurance.
What do we do now? Wait here for Miss Whitby?
Nope. It's getting late, and I'm still curious about that order book. Let's get across to Miss Ryder's. Mr. Pemberton, what are you doing here? Oh,
Barnaby, come in, will you?
After you, Val.
Thank you.
I've only just arrived myself. I called round to see what she'd managed to salvage. Miss Ryder had rather a narrow escape. She's lying down.
Oh, what's happened?
Well, when she was through at the factory, she came back to clean herself up. And on the way, she was hit by a car.
Oh,
I found
sorry.
Her in a terrible state. She's a little better now. I was just about to get her some water.
Val, would
yes,
you oblige?
Yes, of course I will.
She's in here.
Hello, Miss Ryder. How are you feeling now?
Suppose I'm lucky to be in one piece.
Yes, indeed. You didn't happen to catch the number of the car by any chance, did you?
No, I was knocked onto the pavement. It was gone before I knew what happened.
Here you are. I'll drink this, Miss Ryder.
Oh, thanks, Val.
Thanks.
Now, I don't want to bother you unnecessarily, but this is very important. These orders to International Solvents and Resins. Now, I know it's a little difficult, but I wonder if you can recall any of the individual items.
Miss Whitby's return to the fold. That's her car. There's not a mark on it. The paintwork's perfect. You know, I rather fancy this colour myself, so if you're ever in a generous mood, just remember the colour of my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the colour of my eyes. I don't suppose you even noticed. Don't look. What colour are they?
Deep, deep blue.
Now, be honest, you guess.
Whether I did or not, I promise you I'll never forget them from now on.
And here, the flat entrance is that away.
I know, but we're going this away. Go on, in you get.
Yes, but what about Miss Whitby?
Miss Whitby shall remain undisturbed, but you and I have a busy night ahead. I want you to drop me at Pemberton's factory, then call that familiar Whitehall number and see if you can locate Robbie.
Well, Barnaby, you certainly do work late hours.
Oh, don't fret. I pay myself overtime. May I come in?
Of course, why not? I hope you'll forgive the mess.
Oh, I can forgive almost anything. Except arson.
Arson?
Oh, come along, Mr. Gilbert. I'm sure you know the meaning of the word. You're certainly a very expert practitioner.
I'm what?
In fact, that's really your trouble. You're a little too expert. You left nothing to chance, did you?
Left nothing?
That peroxide drum, the sprinklers, very proficient. But you shouldn't have taken that order book. You know, the chances of my spotting that order were 1,000,000 to 1. Believe me, I'm not that knowledgeable.
What order are you talking about?
The order you put through for a resonated asbestos coating.
I what?
It's quite new, isn't it? Now being used in the lifeboats for oil tankers. Coat a steel hull or cabinet, and you can survive quite easily in a temperature of 1,000 degrees. There's a coated steel cabinet in the factory basement.
Well, if there is, it wasn't used by me. Or checked with Andrews. I left before 5:30.
Yes, but security checks have their loopholes. And it was certainly no problem for a man of your ingenuity. When the delivery van drew up at 5:40, I suppose you slipped down the side, didn't you?
Look, I'm afraid I know nothing about that order or cabinet, Barnaby. And you'll need a lot more evidence than that to prove I was in the factory.
Oh, there's my secretary who took notes of our earlier conversation.
No, I'm talking about an eyewitness.
And so am I. As it happens, I have one.
Oh, who?
You, Mr. Gilbert.
What?
You're a printing expert, a man with an eye for color, aren't you?
So?
Yet when I first questioned you, you described Miss Whitby's new car as green.
Yes.
But it's blue.
Are you suggesting I'm colorblind?
No, but in moments of tension, we all have our blind spots. Miss Whitby parked at 8:00. You said it was green because you saw it from behind the amber glass while you were inside the factory.
But I tell...
Ah, I believe that's my secretary with a certain Inspector Hackett. I'd save any further statement for him.
That was Robert Beatty as Q Barnaby and Gudrun Ure as Val in Blindspot, written by Philip Levine and produced for the BBC by Martin C. Webster.